All right, well, it's good to be here today. It's good to see y'all, and I appreciate the invitation. I thank you very much for the invitation and for the accommodations and for the meal. It was very good. It's very good. I enjoyed it a lot. But most of all, I want to thank you for putting this conference on, for allowing us to come together and worship. It's a good thing to do. We need to worship at home. You know, it's great to come together like this on special occasions and worship the Lord. It's great to see the house full. Whenever Brother Graber asked me if I would be willing to come and preach here, I said, sure. And then he said, we always have a theme. And I was like, oh no. I have never preached in a conference where there was a theme. Never done that. So I've been nervous about this. And sat in my office at home praying about it. I talked to Brother Bowen about it. And just, what do I preach on? And I was praying about it. I didn't know what to do. And I had some ideas, some thoughts, but it just, they weren't going anywhere. So I abandoned those and moved on. You know, the Lord wasn't going to open up those doors. And I went over to the house and took the dog out, was standing there, and I was praying. I was nervous. I was worried. I was getting stressed out about all this. And the sun was shining, so I laid up against the fence and closed my eyes and just let the sun shine on me a little bit, you know. Have y'all ever done that before? Been nervous and stressed out, and the sun just does something to you, doesn't it? When you're standing there and it's warm, there's a cool breeze blowing, it seems like all your troubles just go away, right? After I took the dog in, I went and wrote this message. I cry when I get nervous, and I'm very nervous. I'm always nervous when I get up to preach. You know, there's benefits. Well, turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We want to read verses 14 through 19. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And the Lord God, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for sign and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. You know, this morning when I got up in the hotel room, we were on the beach side there, and I opened up the blinds. Couldn't see nothing. It was just dark. And somebody in our room made a comment, well, it's still dark outside. You know, it's 6:30. It's still dark. But I sat there at the table, and I read over the lesson. And you know what began to happen? I began to be where I could see outside, right? The sun was coming up, and you could see the water, and just water just kept going. I could see the land around. I could see the beach. When we stand in the sun outside, we can all stand in here and see the sun outside, right? And you know there's benefits to being in the sun. You know, we get vitamin D from the sun. There's a lot of benefits we get from the sun. There's a lot of, you can be in the sun and it just seems to take your troubles away. Do you know there's not only benefits to being in the sun, there's benefits to being in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what I saw when I looked at, when I sat there, stood outside praying about this. There's benefits. Do you know it does us no good to see the sun, yet not go in it. The first thing we need to understand, you need to trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're lost, when I was lost, I knew how to be saved. I knew how. I could tell you how to be saved. I could show you scriptures of how to be saved. But but I was trusting in everything I was doing. Mm-hmm. Stop trusting in what you're doing and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. We can stand here, and you've heard message after message yesterday, last night, and today about who Jesus is, about the benefits of Jesus Christ. Every message here I notice is talking about the benefits of being in Jesus Christ, of seeing Jesus. We stand out in here and we look out there and we see the sun. It does us no good if we never open up the windows and go out into the sun, open up the doors and go out into the sun and reap those benefits. There was a job I was working on way a long time ago. We was building a mall. And it was in the winter time. I would go to work in the dark. I was working inside, and I'd come home in the dark. And I got to where I was just wore out, tired. I couldn't think straight. I was climbing up. I did climb up the ladder, get a measurement, had to climb down to cut the piece of pipe, and then I couldn't remember what I measured. Climb back up the ladder. I'd do that 2 or 3 times. That wasn't like me. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't focus. So I had to go to the doctor for something else anyway, a regular checkup. So I talked to him about it, and he told me, just tell me about your day. So I began to tell him about my day, and he stopped me. He's like, here's what you do. He said, I can give you pills, or you can just start taking a break and lunch outside in the sun. That's it. Good enough. And I was like, it's winter. It's cold. You know, I go to the break room where it's heated. And he's like, no, you go sit outside in the sun. It took me a few days to decide to actually do that, to go take my little chair. People thought I'm the craziest guy on there because I take my lunchbox and I go sit out in the sun and bundle all up, sit in the sun. But, you know, it was not just a couple days that I began to feel better. I began to where I could remember the measurements when I came down off the ladder. I could concentrate. I could focus. I felt better. I was more awake. I was more aware. And hopefully, Lord willing, the goal of this, what I want us to do is every time we see the sun shining outside, I want us all to consider the benefits of being and following Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Because there are benefits, there are blessings, but they only come from accepting Him as your personal Savior. So, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. We're going to go through some of the benefits of being in the sun and liken them with scriptures of being in Christ. But we're still on the introduction here, so bear with me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way of these blessings. He's the only way of these benefits. You can be here. I remember being lost and going with my parents to meetings and going there and conferences and sitting there in the services and hearing the preachers preach. And it's the same thing my dad preached. It was the same thing, and I heard every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, a different person preaching it. And people all around were saying amen, and then we would hear, and we would eat, and everybody, that was great, that was wonderful. And I'm lost, sitting here thinking, I want to say that, but I didn't get it, because I was lost. You know, when the Lord saved me, though, all that changed. Those things changed for me, that those things, that when the preacher would preach, I would understand more. Every time a preacher preached, I would understand a little bit more and get happier, more happy, more focused. And I look back at that time now and thinking about that Jesus is the only way. If you're here today and you're lost, you can put a smile on your face. You can do all of that. You need Jesus Christ in your heart. You need Him. You need to repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. Look in John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You want to know where you're going? You want to see what's going on? You want to be able to make the right decisions, good decisions? You follow the Lord. Follow Him. You know, and that's not just for those that are lost. Those of us that are saved, we need to put aside our own desires, our own wants, our own feelings, our own motives, our own agenda. Put that stuff aside and just follow the Lord. When we trust in Him, when we follow Him, you know, He lights up our path. He lights it up. There's been many times that I was a plumber and I worked down in basements, worked in dark areas, that there have been many times that I would have to go into a dark area. And what would you do? Stumble around? No. Get a flashlight, right? Turn the light on so you can see. Just, we need the light. Just as the sun lights for the world, it's not enough to have that light. You need the light in your spirit. You need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we need. And we need to follow Him and follow His light. Sun exposure. Being exposed to the sun. Did you know it helps lower your blood pressure? Being in the sun helps lower your blood pressure. When the sun touches your skin, there's a compound called nitric oxide which helps lower your blood pressure. It's released into blood vessels as soon as sunlight touches your skin. It's amazing the things that the sun does. And then God made this world. He created this world. He created the sunlight, and the sun touches our skin. And that's why when you stand in the sun, you stand there and you relax, you take a deep breath, and you can just fall asleep in the sun. I can sit there in the sun and just fall asleep. You know, the reason why that my doctor told me to go outside and sit in the sun, you know, I was beginning to trip on things, on the concrete pour. If there was just a fraction of an inch that was hanging up, I would trip over it. I was so wore out, so tired, I wasn't picking my feet up when I walked very much. Just, we begin to lag around. We get groggy. Just of us that are saved sometimes, we start focusing more on the situation than on Christ. We look at Peter, and I think about him, how that he began to sink, right? When he walked on the water, he began to sink. But sometimes we don't focus on the fact that he walked on the water. He said, Christ, if it be you, bid me come. Nobody else in the boat said that. Only Peter. And Christ said, come. And Peter got out and walked on the water. But what happened? Just like we do sometimes. We're worshiping the Lord. We're following Him. And something begins to happen. Things around us begin to be a problem. But you think about this, though. You think about this. It wasn't until Christ got in the boat that the wave stopped. Peter said, bid me come when the storm was going on. You read that. When the storm was going on, that's when Peter asked the Lord to bid him come. Peter walked on the water until he took his eyes off of Christ and focused on the storm. Then he began to sink. That's the same thing we do sometimes. The sun helps lower your blood pressure, just as trusting in Christ helps lower our blood pressure and brings peace into your life. When we would just forget about the situation, just take our eyes off of those things. Look, I can mention specific things in my life that I've went through. And everyone here could take your turn and mention specific things that you've went through that you took your eyes off Christ. And when you put your eyes back on Him, how that the trouble didn't go away, but the peace came back. That's what I'm talking about. That standing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we want to start reading in verse 1. Proverbs 3, and starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 10. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You think about, you read these verses and you pay attention to these. There's some things that you need to do. Things that we need to do, that I need to do. He says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. We need to know his commandments. We need to know his word. We have to read it, study it, meditate upon it. It's just like when the doctor told me to go eat outside. I could have taken that word. I could have believed that, what he said, but never went outside and ate lunch. Nothing would have ever changed. Nothing would have changed. But I thank the Lord that I got so wore out and tired of being tired and frustrated with messing up, making mistakes, tripping over everything, tripping over stuff that's not even there, that I went outside and ate lunch and I began to feel better. Sometimes we're afraid of what people are going to say. Look, get your Bible out and read it. Forget about what people are going to say. What matters more? We need to see Jesus. We need to see him in our life, in our daily life. We need to know that he's there. There's blessings, there's benefits from trusting in Christ. We need to trust in him. He says on here in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let go of them. It says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Something else you do. Know them, keep them, hold on to them, prove them true. Verse 4, he says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. But God will protect you, God will keep you, and God will give you understanding if we will just read his word, keep it, follow it. Look, it comes down to this. Do you believe God's word? Don't just answer. Examine. Do you believe God's word? It does no good for someone to ask you, do you believe God's word? And you just say yes and go on because you know that's the right answer. Do you believe God's word is 100% totally, completely true? Are you going to bank your life on it? Do you believe it's true? You know, and you say, well, I'm saved. I'm not talking about that. Look, that's not what I'm talking about. There came a place in my life after I was saved. There were some things that I struggled with that I just, everybody else around me loved them. I didn't get it because I couldn't understand them. How was I supposed to believe them if I don't understand them? Right? That's where I was at. And I would read them, I would study it, I would listen to those messages, and still just, they would explain it. And my dad would say, this is a really good message on this. I mean, you can't get clearer than this. And I would listen to it, and it still didn't get it. Did not get it. And I was going home from church one day, and I was praying about this. And man, Lord, I need your help with this. And the thought came across, I never told you to understand it. I told you to believe it. And I struggled with that for a few days. And Lord, how am I supposed to believe something I don't understand? How? And the thought just kept, I didn't tell you to understand it. And finally, I gave up. Fine, I'm going to believe it. Whatever your word says, I'm going to believe it.
Amen.
And that's it for me. And I'm not saying just right then I understood everything, but there was a process that some things I began to understand. I don't understand it, but it doesn't matter. It's in God's word, it's true.
Amen.
Period. Do you know, I begin to understand some things. There's still things I don't understand, but one thing I can say, if it's between Genesis and Revelation, I believe it. I believe it. It's in God's word. It doesn't matter if I understand it. And I've come to this conclusion too. It doesn't matter if you believe it. God said it. That settles it for me. And you know, there's been a peace in my life about some things. But as long as I wasn't trusting in Christ that he could keep his word, I didn't have that peace. He tells us here, verse 4, so shalt thou find good understanding and in the sight of God and man. Find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lay not unto thine own understanding. See, don't try to understand it. Just trust the Lord. Trust him. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Tell you, I look at this verse, How many ways do we acknowledge the Lord in our lives? How many ways do we? You know, we separate things a lot of times. Well, let me rephrase that. I separate things a lot of times with work and church. But now that I'm a pastor, it's a little different. Work is church, right? But we separate. We separate things. And God tells us here in this verse, He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Every part of your life needs to have Christ in it. Amen. Every part. There's not to be any part that you hold back for yourself. Examine yourself. Are you trusting in Christ? Are you following Him? The benefit to trusting in Christ in all your ways, He says, and He shall direct thy paths. I love the word shall. I love that word. You know, some of y'all may know this. I've probably told it before, but some of you may not have heard it from me. But as a plumber, I had to follow a plumbing code book, right? And there's definitions in any code book. There's definitions there. And did you know shall is in the definition pages? It's there. They define shall. And the first time I saw that, I thought, well, that's weird. We all know what shall means, right? You know what shall means. In the plumbing code book, shall means it will be. I love that. Because when Christ says here, when the Bible says, and He shall direct thy paths, you know what that tells me? It will be. It will be. If I would just trust in Christ, lay aside my own wants and desires and thing and thoughts, He'll take care of me. He'll give me peace. He says here in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But turn away from what your flesh wants to do. Stay away from that. We're all drawn by the flesh. I know, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I would love to tell you that someone else in here is my worst enemy. But I can't. Because my worst enemy, well, my worst enemy is in here. But it's me. None of you. I am my worst enemy. I am my worst. I draw me away from the Lord quicker than anything else could. My flesh, it's with me all the time. We need to leave the flesh alone, pull away from the flesh, depart from what the flesh wants to do. Fear the Lord, respect the Lord, honor, reverence the Lord. Know who God is and depart from evil. Verse 8, he says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be a blessing to us physically and spiritually if we will just follow God. Amen. You know, sin does not just affect spiritually. You know, if you're in sin, you know, sin can affect you physically, amen, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Every aspect of your life sin affects. Every part of it. It's the same thing when you trust in Christ. It affects every part of your life. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It's a blessing. Verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We can try and try and try to get things to happen, to get things to work. But if we would just trust in Christ, He will provide everything we need. He'll take care of it all. One of the biggest problems as a man, as a husband, as a dad, that I have with my blood pressure is letting go. Letting go. So what do you mean letting go? I've always been in control. I've always been in control. I'm a controlling type person. I pray and hope it's not as bad as it used to be. My wife tells me I'm not as bad as I used to be, but she smiles after she says it. So, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you want to be in control. I don't know if that's a man thing or just me. When I'm trying to be in control, I'm not at peace. I'm not. I'm struggling. I'm trying to hold everything together. You know what? When I just let go and let the Lord do it and just stand in Jesus Christ and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what happens to me? I can feel my blood pressure going down. I can feel my heart not pumping so much. We need Jesus Christ in our lives. We need Him just as we need the sun to be able to see where we're walking, what we're doing. We need Christ so we can move around in this world, so we can follow and do what He wants us to do. Without Jesus Christ, we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. And trust me, there's people following you down your path. Whatever path you're taking, there's people following you. We need Jesus Christ. Sun exposure improves sleep quality. When sunlight hits our eyes, we go outside and we see the sunlight. A message is sent to the pineal gland in the brain that production of melatonin is shut down until the sun goes down. So that's why we become more aware when we're in the sun. That melatonin quits processing in our brain that makes us tired, and we're able to work, we're able to focus, we're out in the sun. You know, when I was in construction, I worked, as a plumber. I done new construction, and I would show up on the job when there was nothing there. It was an open field. And when I left, there was a building with everything working in it. You know, we'd work outside. I'd done everything underground from outside the building, inside the building, all the way up out the roof. And when we showed up, we had to wear a hard hat, safety glasses. I wore the sunglass safety glasses. So from here up on my head was all covered, right? But I worked outside in the sun. I put sunscreen on. I do all that. We got joking around about, I don't know what y'all have the term for it up here when you see construction workers like that. We always called it the raccoon look, you know, because everything's tan to right here. Then it's white. I mean, no sun at all. And so we looked kind of funny, and you could always spot them. And I know there's some people here that may be thinking in the back of your mind, and I thought about this and I prayed about this, that if you're out in the sun too long, too much sun exposure is bad, right? Too much sun exposure out there in the sun. You know, I was praying about that. What to say about that? What do I do? Because somebody's going to be thinking about that. And the thought came across, if you're out there in the sun, you can spot those that are out in the sun too much, aren't you, Caton? You can see them. Do you know, being in Christ changes you. Changes you. It doesn't just change you on the inside. It changes you on the outside. You think differently. You walk differently. You talk differently. You look differently at things. You look differently. You dress differently. You act. Everything is different about you. Just as when I worked out in the sun. I mean, I would come home from work and the kids would, there's some people that worked outside and they'd be like, wow, look, I got a good suntan. So I'd hold my arm up there and like, oh yeah, yeah, okay. But I worked in the sun all the time. So my arms were, they're not now, but I had a big time farmer's tan. And you can tell people that work outside. You ought to be able to tell those people that are in church. Amen. You ought to be able to tell, they ought to be different. We went to, my family went to, I forget now, it might have been a baseball game or I don't know what it was, but it's a big, in a big stadium. And we were walking up and I was walking right behind my dad and we sat down. I sat down beside my dad. We're sitting there, we're looking, and this lady from behind tapped my dad on the shoulder. And he turned around. He hadn't said a word, nothing. He turned around and, yes, ma'am. And she said, I'm sorry, but I got to know. Are you a pastor? And he said, yes. She said, I thought so. He hadn't said a word to her. And I asked him, do you know her? No, I don't know her. But I have a lot of respect for my dad. I have a lot. I wanted to show through me that I believe in God, that I trust in Christ. I want Christ to change me. Amen. Tell you one thing I've been praying about this conference. There's a lot of conferences we go to And when we leave, we forget. We forget. I want this to change us. I want this to be something that these messages that we've heard, I want them to be so real to us that next week when we wake up, it's still changing us. It's still affecting our lives. It's still causing us to want to serve Him and follow Him even more. Trusting in Christ. You know, trusting in Christ, depending upon Him, allows you to sleep, and your sleep is sweet. Just as being out in the sun in the day shuts the melatonin down in your minds. But when that sun goes down, when I worked in the field and the sun went down, I'd come home, I'd get home and the sun would go down, you know, I would get so tired I could hardly even walk. But I've been out in the sun, I was hot, I was wore out, no melatonin running through my brain, and then when the sun goes down, all of a sudden I got enough and I'm ready to go to bed. There's been times that I would come home from work, wore out, so tired, you know what? I don't even want supper. I want bed. I take a shower, I go get in bed, and Trish told me sometimes that I think you were snoring before you even got laid down. You know, just wore out, tired. When we trust the Lord, no matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on around us, you know the Lord can give you peace. And He can help you sleep. If we would just see Him in our lives and what He's doing, that His hand is upon us. His hand is there. He's taking care of things. Do you believe the Word of God when He says He's got it in control? He's in control of it. Do you believe that? Look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21. 21 and 26. 21 through 26. Proverbs 3, 21. He says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and He shall keep thy foot from being taken." Look, we can try all day long to protect ourselves, to protect our families, but we're going to fail. Trust in Christ. When our kids were born, well, they were just born one at a time, but I mean, you know, the way I said it may sound like they're all born at once, but they were born once at a time. But when Melinda was born, my mom knows me real well. And she told me before we ever took Melinda home, she said, "Now, when you take that little girl home and you're laying there in bed and you wake up thinking something may be wrong with her, you don't get up and go in there." And I was like, "What? Why not?" And she's like, "Because you've got to trust Christ. You have to trust the Lord to take care of her. Because if you get up every time you're afraid, you're never going to sleep. You will never sleep." And I was thinking, yeah, Mom don't know. Mom don't know, right? Mom knew way better than I thought Mom knew. Because there was many times that I would wake up from a dream and think something's wrong. And want to get up and go in her, and those words would come back through. You trust the Lord in this. You give her to the Lord, because I cannot protect her. I cannot, as a dad as a dad, I want to protect my children. I want to help them. I want to protect them and keep them safe and guard them from every evil. But one thing I cannot do, well, I can't make their heartbeat. I can't help them take that next breath. And you look at that and you begin to look at that, that I begin to see that I can't protect them at all. Do you know what I would do? I would pray and ask the Lord to help me. "Lord, if you keep this on my mind, I'll go in there. But if you take it away, I'm going to stay right here." You know what? I could roll over and go back to sleep. Unless there was a noise coming from the other room, I could roll over and go back to sleep. But in all honesty, if there was a noise from the other room, my wife was already in there. You know, she heard it way before me. If we would just trust Christ, He'll take care of everything. Just you, I look at this and I see the sun shining down, and how that the sun just relaxes us and helps us focus. Look, when you pick up God's Bible, you pick up His Word, and you go to read it, if you're not trusting Christ, it's just going to be words on a page. That's what it's going to be. But when you, the more you read it, and the more you study, and the more you learn of Him, and the more you, the closer you draw to Him, the more that these words are going to begin to make sense. The more that you're going to understand, the more that He's going to open things up to you. But in my opinion, my belief, you need to believe what's on those words, those pages, is real. This Bible is not just words to me. I remember a time when it was words, but not anymore. It's been more than that for many years to me. Sun exposure, the next point, sun exposure improves brain function. Studies have found sunlight could help spur nerve cell growth in the hippocampus. Some of these words, I don't know what they are. Which is a part of the brain responsible for forming, organizing, and storing memories. I look at that and I told you that when I couldn't remember the measurement when I got measured it up on a ladder and climbed down the ladder. That may not mean much to y'all, but what I could do, I could take a measurement. Take the measurement, see it, say it, come down, someone would come up and talk to me. I would talk to them, I could answer a phone call, I could go answer their questions, I could help them measure stuff, come back, look at it, and remember the measurement. That's what I could do. But not when I was working inside for months. I couldn't. That's where I couldn't even remember to come down the ladder. When we trust the Lord, when we put our faith in Him, He helps our mind work right.
Amen.
He helps it. Look, I have trouble with my mind. I'm not going to ask y'all if y'all do, because I'm really hoping I'm the only one in this room that does, right? I know I'm not. But I just really hope y'all don't have the same problems I have with my brain. You know? My mom and dad told me a long time ago, my grandparents told me, but as a kid, you think you're smart and you're actually just dumb. You are, because you think you got it all under control, I got this. And they would say, look, what you put in your mind, you never get rid of. It never goes away, never. And as a kid, I was thinking, well, so, it's okay. I got it. Don't put stuff in your mind. You won't put something in your mind, you put God's Word in your mind. You put His Word in there. The more you put His Word in there, the more that He will help your brain, your mind. The more that He will cause it to be what it needs to be. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to think about those things of the Lord. We need to put, look, we're here today to worship the Lord. And it's really easy to serve the Lord here, isn't it? It's really easy to be strengthened to do what God wants us to do here among brothers and sisters in Christ. But look, this is not the test. Today is not the test. Today is the classroom. Tomorrow is the test. Well, actually, tomorrow is Sunday. Monday is the test, right? Monday is. So it's a day later. But that's why these meetings are so important. That's why Sunday is so important. That's why Wednesday night is so important. We need to be in services. We need to be renewed. We need to have a transforming of the mind. Because that world wears on it. You think about it. My mind is not saved. Your mind is not saved. No matter how much you want to think it is, it's not. How often does your mind feed in the things of this world? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you think about what the Lord said to do. He said, if you would give me 10%, I'll take care of the other 90. You say, well, now you're talking tithing. No, I'm not. I'm not talking tithing yet. I'm not going to talk about tithing. But every day we're gained 24 hours a day, right? That's what we're gained. If you would give the Lord 2 hours and 40 minutes a day to serve and worship and read and listen to what he wants us to listen to, did you know he'll make the other 90% easier? He will. Y'all looking at me like, what? It's true. Try it. I'm telling you, try it. Serve the Lord. Read his word. Listen to messages. Give him 10% of your day that you dedicate to him, and he'll help you with the other 90%. It works. I know it for a fact. Not that I do it all the time. I try to. I try. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Trusting in Christ will help us with our minds. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We need to put his mind, his way of thinking in us, in our mind. How do we do that? How do we think the way Christ thinks? How do we put that mind in us? You know, when I started plumbing, I went from a restaurant manager to a plumber. I was thinking like a restaurant manager. And I went into plumbing, two different drastic areas. And I plumbed for like 20 years. Do you know, I still, when I walk into a building, you know what I notice? I notice plumbing. That's what I know. I notice construction. Before, when I was working in a restaurant, and I walked in a restaurant, I could about tell you if you wanted to eat there or not. If the dining room floor is dirty, that's the cleanest floor in the place. If it's dirty, I'm leaving. Because what's behind those doors in the kitchen is going to be a lot worse, and that's where they're preparing the food. But, you know, I notice plumbing now, you know, because that's what I've been, that's where my mind was. What do you notice in this life? What's on your mind the most? What are you feeding your mind? What are you putting in your mind? Tell you, we come together here, and the theme is, we see Jesus. Don't let this be the only place you see Jesus is these 2 days. Don't let it be. The Lord is giving us an opportunity to worship him, to see him in other different ways. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. We see Jesus in the sunshine. We can see him every day in the sunshine, the benefits of the sun, and there's benefits in trusting Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How is it that we can be that way? How can we? I know there's different churches represented here today. Every church that's represented here today needs to have the same thing on their mind. Serving the Lord. Following him. What does the Lord want? Too many times in churches, I've seen it. I've been in church my whole life, and I've seen church members. I've been in business meetings that were bad. And the reason why they were bad is because they wanted their way. We need to put that stuff aside. Because you're not going to tell me that there's times that thought don't flare up in you. What do you do with that thought, though? What do you do with it? Doesn't matter what we want. You read about Paul and how Paul starts his letters out. He talks about being a servant. He talks about being a soldier. He talks about being a prisoner. Everything Paul talks about and what he calls himself, he's not in control. You think about that. We're not either. We are servants. We are soldiers. We are prisoners. All of Jesus Christ. He's the one that should be in control of our life. He's the one that our desire should be too. Not what we want. Not what we think. When we just let go and just let the Lord have it. I'm telling you, there's times in my life when I've struggled with this. And I'm sure I will again. I struggle with it. And then I remember again, Lord, if you just help me and just give it to him and he takes it. The situation doesn't change. The circumstance doesn't change. But did you know, it should have seemed better. Nothing's changed in it. But where I'm trusting changes. When I trust in Christ and put him first, he is always taking care of everything for me. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. First Corinthians. I don't know what I said. I was heading to 2 Corinthians, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Look, we can't tell the Lord what to do. We follow. We follow him. We serve him. We read his word. We give our problems to him. I don't know if anybody else here likes to be in control. But when you like to be in control, it's not always fun when you are. I had a guy one time on a job. It was a big job. I was running. I needed some help, but there was nobody to help me. And this guy, he wanted to help. He didn't really want to help. He just wanted to walk around with a clipboard and look important. But so finally, he kept asking. Finally, I talked to my boss. I said, look, he wants to help. And he said, he ain't going to be very good. I know it, but he just keeps bugging me. So my boss said, whatever you want to do. So I got him a clipboard and I gave it to him. Here, you're in charge of all the water lines, everything. It's yours. I said, okay. So he was all happy as he could be for about 3 days until they ran out of copper fittings. Then he came up to me and he's like, hey, Paul, you got anything for my guys to do today? I'm like, yeah, water lines. And he's like, we don't have any more copper fittings. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any more copper fittings? He's like, well, they didn't. I said, no, it's not they. You're the guy in charge. You're the one that wanted to be in charge. Yeah, but they, no. Has nothing to do with they. It is you. Sometimes we're that same way with Christ, with the Lord. We want to take charge. We want to be in. But he gave the clipboard back real quick. He wanted a freedom without the responsibility. But look. Listen, and I hope I'm going to make this clear. It makes sense in my mind. God has said he'll take the responsibility. He'll take all of it if we'll just give it to him. Let him take care of it. You're going through problems. We can't tell him what to do. We don't have the right to tell him what to do. We have the right to follow him. We have the right to do what he says to do. It was mentioned here yesterday and today. What are we here to do? Give him glory and honor. That's what our life is for. We're here to worship him, to do what he says for us to do. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You know this verse. We can almost all quote this verse. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we ought to be thinking about. That's where our mind should be going. We ought to make sure our mind is in these categories. But I want to do. I want you to go back, and I want to start reading in verse 4. I want you to notice some things here. There's benefits to serving the Lord, benefits to trusting in Christ, benefits to letting Him have control, giving your problems, giving your everything to Him. In verse 4, He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. We need to be thankful for what God's done, what God's doing in our life. We need to rejoice. When do we rejoice? He says, always. And I like it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why does He tell us twice? Sometimes because we're not listening the first time. No? Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I've had guys ask me questions, and I start answering their question, and I tell them, are you listening? Because you can see in their eyes, they're thinking of something to say. They ask you a question, but they have no intent in listening to the answer. We need to, whatever situation you're in, rejoice. How do we do that? Let me ask you a simple question. Do you believe God's in control? Do you? What I've found for me is when I'm in a difficult situation and I'm not able to rejoice, I can bring it down to that fact. I don't know if God's in control. Well, I know He's in control, but I'm not acting like it. So that's a better way to put it. I know He's in control. But I want to do something. I want to work it out. I want to do it. If I would just give it to Him. Verse 5, He says, "Let your moderation," which is patience, "be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." When we're in trouble, we're in trials, and whatever our life is going on in our life, we rejoice and we thank the Lord for it, and we wait on the Lord. Why is it we wait on the Lord? Because the Lord is at hand. I'm glad He says the Lord is at hand. Did you know? This may sound silly, but this is the way I read this verse. Everywhere I go, you know what goes with me? My hand. Everywhere I go, my hand goes with me. That's how close the Lord is at all times. He's with me. Everywhere. He knows everything that's going on. He says here in verse 6, "Be careful," or that word careful means anxious, worry. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," which is asking, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Look, talk to the Lord. Pray about it. Ask Him what you need, for what you need. But don't leave off with thanksgiving. Look, it could always be worse. I was on a job there in St. Louis, and there was this guy that was really complaining and moaning about, and he had some rights to complain and moan about his life, that I guess. But I told him, I said, "Look, you want your life, you want things to be better in your life?" He's like, "Yeah, I do." I said, I can tell you three places to go that your life will be better when you leave those three places." And he's like, "Really? Where's that?" Children's Hospital. Now I can't think of what they are. The three children's hospitals, Children's, Shriners, and Cardinal Glennon Hospital in St. Louis. There's something about, no matter what you're going through, when you see a child going through those things that are in those hospitals, I tell you what, your problems will melt away. Yeah. What you're going through won't seem that bad. Why is it then we need to trust the Lord, trust in Him, thank the Lord what we're going through? Thank the Lord that He's in control. He says, "And let your requests be made known unto God." And look at verse 7. I like this verse. You go through all those, you rejoice, you pray, and you thank the Lord. And in verse 7, He says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You want the peace of God in your heart. You want the peace of God in your life that passeth all understanding in the middle of all the trials, in the middle of all the tribulation, in the middle of everything you're going on, that you can have peace and contentment. Do you want that? You need to do what those verses say. You need to rejoice in the Lord. You need to pray and talk to Him. You need to wait on Him. Don't try and push things through and make things happen. You're going to make it worse. But he says there, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to direct. You know whose responsibility it is for you to think right? It's yours. It's my responsibility for my mind to be right. It takes work. It's hard. And it's not something that I do one time a day. Did you know, when I wake up in the morning, I got to start it right then. Sometimes I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for some dreams that I had. You know, and then start right then. And you know, when I get up out of bed, you know what I got to do sometimes? I got to do it again. And then when I'm eating breakfast, I got to do it again. All day long, I've got to make my mind think right. In verse 9, he says, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now I'm going to stop there just for a minute. You remember in verse 7, when you do verses 4, 5, 6, and then he says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We want that, right? But a lot of times we stop with verse 7. When we get peace through the trial, we're okay with it. But look, when we train our minds to think on what God wants us to think on, we fill our minds with God's Word. Look, our churches are full of people that don't fill their mind with God's Word. They're full of people. Look, people call themselves Christians all day long that never come to church. And I told one guy once that he asked me if I was a Christian, and I told him, I said, well, I guess not. If you got to ask, then I guess not. He said, no, that's what I mean. I mean, you believe in God. And before I even thought, I said, well, I guess according to that, Satan's a Christian. Devil also believes in tremble. That's what the world says a Christian is, but that's not what my Bible says a Christian is. And my Bible, by the way, doesn't say anyone called themselves Christians. My Bible says they were called Christians. I don't like the term Christian because of what it stands for nowadays. Anybody can be one. I want to be a Christian, but not the world's view of a Christian. I want to be God's view of a Christian. You look at this, we fill our minds with what God says. And then we get to verse 9, and he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. It takes action. You following God's Word and doing what He says. Look at this. And the God of peace shall be with you. Don't stop with just having the peace of God. Keep going, and the God of peace will be with you. I believe words are in the place where they ought to be. And I think there's a difference there from verse 7 to verse 9. When we do what God says to do, we follow Him, we seek His face in the middle of our trials, our tribulations. Look, when we just put Christ first in our lives, He'll take care of everything. I've said that before in this message, hadn't I? 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Look, we need to put Him first. We need to see Him. I've seen that in every message so far, that we see Jesus in everything. You know, as when I was studying and looking, trying to find what to preach on in Jesus in the Old Testament, the books, and the 5 books of Moses, I began to look at those, and study and pray. I looked it up on the internet. It's everywhere. He's everywhere. Then it was just narrowing it down to one message. You know, and when you ever bought a car and you bought a color in that car that you'd never seen before? You done that? And on your way home, you're like, yeah, nobody else has a car like this. On the way home, you see like 40 of them. You know, when you start seeing something, you keep seeing it. That's what I want for this meeting. That's what I want for me. I want, when I go home today and tomorrow, and I'm there on Monday and all next week, I want to see Jesus in everything. That's what I want. And that's what I want with this message. I want you, every time you wake up in the morning, the sun rises, to think about Christ. I want you to see Him. That just as the sun heats up and feeds everything, feeds us and provides for us, Christ provides for us. Christ gives everything we need. He is everything that we need. He sustains us. The sun provides the plants and animals with light. The trees grow and they put off oxygen, which we breathe. I mean, the Lord has this set up that the sun is used in these places. And that Christ is everything that we need. There's nothing that we need that won't be provided through Christ. Everything. Look, if you will, in John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. John 6, 35, he says here, I am the bread of life, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You want to be filled? You want to have a life that's content and peaceful? Give it to the Lord. Trust in Him. Look, it says, look in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, 45. I want to show you, you know these verses already, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. We're just going to read this one verse. It says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Look, I know people that don't want to go outside. They're tired, they're wore out. They don't benefit from the advantages of being in the sunlight. Then I also know people that come to church and complain because they never get anything out of the messages. But yet when you ask them, are you reading at home? Well, you know, I'm pretty busy. Yeah, it's not the pastor's fault. It's not the preacher's fault that you're not benefiting from the services. It's your own fault. The word is here. Christ has given us the opportunity to learn and to grow in Him, but if you don't stand in His Son, in Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? In John chapter 6 and verse 51, there are benefits. The Lord sends. Well, go ahead and turn there to John 6, 51. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Christ died so that we could have a way of salvation. He gave His life for me. It's such a personal thing, I believe. I heard someone say this the other day, and I loved it. And I believed this for a long time. You know, if I was the only person left in this on this world when I was lost, He would have came and died on a cross for me. I believe that. It's personal between me and Christ. It's personal between you and Christ. He's everything that we need. We need to trust in Him, lean upon Him. He sustains us. Look in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. says, I am the, verse 9, sorry, John chapter 10, verse 9, says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But trust in Christ.
Amen.
Just trust in Him. Believe on Him. There's all kinds of scriptures we can read about trusting in Christ and believing in Him. One of my favorite is when Paul and Silas told the jailer. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? What did they say? They didn't say to be baptized. They didn't say to join a church. They didn't say to tithe and give offerings. They said what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whenever I was lost, that seemed so hard. And it was for me, because I kept trying to do it. But I'm telling you, the day that I was sitting there in church and we stood up to give invitation, and it was like I was going to pray, but there was no prayer left to pray. There was nothing left for me to do. There was nothing left to try. There was nothing left to say. It was strictly, He had to do it. He had to do it. There was nothing for me to do. And I just told the Lord, Lord, if you're going to save me, you're going to have to do it. Do you know what He did? He saved me. When I gave up trying. When I gave up and I just... It was all on Him. And today, I can stand before you today and say that I had no involvement in my salvation. I had none. It was 100% totally by Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're lost, quit trying to be saved. Just trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, quit trying to run your life. Just give it to the Lord. Trust in Him. Let Him have your life. Let Him take care of those things. He will take care of it. If we would just trust Him in it. What I'm hoping is when we go outside today and you see the sun shining, that you'll think of the benefits of Jesus Christ. You think of what it is to serve Him, what it is to follow Him. And that we'll rededicate our life to Him. That our lives tomorrow and Monday will be more like He wants them to be than what we want them to be. So, I appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.